thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, listeners. I'm Valeria Rusnak, and welcome to the episode 12 of the Rejected Premed podcast, a space for honest conversations about rejection and resilience. Rejection is often redirection. Yes, it may sting at first, but it can lead you to meaningful personal and professional growth. In today's episode, please welcome Karan Woodwani. Karan lives a life of many archetypes, a speaker, comic, singer, digital enthusiast, connector, and engager. His experience overcoming stuttering has shown him that he can harness his obstacles into a superpower to achieve mastery in various areas of life. His debut memoir, So You Want to Be A, blends poetry, music, comedy, and wisdom to offer practical advice for anyone seeking clarity and a way forward. Though Karan has lived in Spain, Nigeria, and Canada, and worked in over 28 countries, he chose to establish his roots in Canada, and now calls Vancouver Island his cherished home. So thank you so much, Karan, for taking the time to join us on this podcast. I am thrilled to have you here and excited to explore your fascinating background and the many creative paths that you have pursued. So I will start off by asking, how do you feel about doing today's episode?
Thank you so much, Valeria. I feel really good. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for making the time. A feeling in one word, you know, I'm excited. The book has launched last month. It's been just under 2 weeks, and I've gotten really good feedback, and people are really loving it and sharing their photos on social media. It's been good.
That's great to hear. It's a great book. I read it. I'll ask you a lot of questions on it today. And I said this to you before we started the recording, and I'll say this now, I really enjoyed it. And yeah, how did you decide to write a book? Was it just like one day you had a realization, I'm going to do this? Or it was this slow burning kind of feeling? Like, what pushed you to do this? And who was the ideal target audience in your mind? What went through your mind as you were doing and decided to do this project?
I would say it's been quite a journey. So it's been like 7 years or so. I remember starting this book in 2015 in my undergrad, where I would journal a lot. So I would write on certain topics. And I was reading a lot of philosophy at the time as well. So maybe that has something to do with it. It moved from journals to notepads, multiple notepads. I still have some of these journals at home in a box.
Mm-hmm.
5 or 10 journals filled with words. It moved from physical to then Word documents, and then after to constructing and to actually organizing each topic into set concepts, right? Ideas, like you'll see in the book, where it's broken out into 30 segments.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because I was doing a variety of work, I was working full-time, a job, and then I was doing stand-up comedy, and then I had dabbled in music as well. I wanted a way to compile all of that together. So the thought was, can I create a book with a cross-media aspect that would consider and take into account our full digital lives while still having the physical book for reader to put on their bookshelf.
I really like that, the fact that there's QR codes, there's videos, and sometimes when I thought, oh, I'm getting a bit tired of reading because my eyes hurt, it's just like, oh, okay, cool, an Instagram reel. And that way, that's like a new way to process information and way to process content. So yeah, I really appreciated that.
Oh, and I believe we are in the greatest era right now where digital has come into almost everything. I enjoy pen to paper, but we live and we got to adapt to the digital world.
Yeah, that's right. And in the book, you mentioned you've lived in so many places and you being immersed in so many different cultures and jobs throughout your life. What does rejection or failure mean to you? I want to ask, because around the world, there's so many times people may define those experiences very differently. And yeah, I want to hear what you have to say, or how would you define rejection? Is it simply a redirection? Is it a lesson? Or is it something else completely? I know you identify as a very spiritual person as well. So I wonder if that goes into play when you define rejection. I want to hear that perspective a little bit.
Okay, for sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think even with rejection, you only have control over what you have control over. So for a lack of better words, like you must not reject yourself first of all. You mentioned spirituality. So there's a big quote that I live by and literally tattooed on me, is that like human being should lift himself by himself, because the self alone is the best friend of the self and the self alone is the enemy of the self. I think for a lot of times, our rejection actually, if it's not coming externally, it's coming internally, and the fear as well. So I remember doing a video on fear, and I say, fear is like rocket fuel. You feel it, right? And sometimes you can close off or you can really jump into it. So for instance, let's say you're in class and you're fearful to, and this has happened. This is a personal story. When I was younger, I would be very fearful to read out loud because I was scared I was going to stutter. So I would time it out to go to the bathroom. You know how they got to like everybody had their turn to read out of the book.
Oh yeah. Yeah. We had that too.
Yeah. So today, like, call upon me. I'll read you anything. I'm happy to. So I think fear can hold you back, but I think fear is something that you got to utilize. And you can tell from how I'm feeling about it right now. It's like a little something in you. It's a fire in you that you have to actually fuel. The more you get rid of fear, the more easier you can react to it. It's an emotion. Right? The body is full of energy and emotions. How you think is going to determine how you feel, which is going to determine how you act. I'm fairly spiritual. I practice a lot of Tai Chi as well. And Tai Chi, if you know, is all about Chi. So you're literally moving Chi. You're moving energy in your body to keep it healthy and able. But realizing that you're building up that energy from what you do, who you associate with, and how you spend your time, what you eat, what you feed yourself, not just what you feed yourself food-wise, what you feed yourself content-wise. So I would say rejection. I've faced a lot of rejection in terms of, I also applied for med school 2 years back. I did stand-up comedy because I thought, oh, that's a good way of like alleviating some sorrow and pain, just how doctors do that. Laughter is a great pain medicine, right?
Yeah.
When you meet your friends who you know and you joke around with and you haven't seen them in a while, everything comes back and you're at those moments of laughter and enjoyment. So I think when it comes to rejection, don't get bummed down by it. Know that, okay, sometimes it takes a long time to get to where you got to go. J.K. Rowling, everybody knows, got rejected 1,000 times. Any inventor, any person who has had to really fight for what they believed in, they've often faced a lot of rejection. And that's because we put so much emphasis on the outside. We want validation. obviously in the case of J.K. Rowling, she needed a publisher to publish her book.
Right.
So somebody will take that chance. I think more you advocate, it happens. It takes time. That's the key, is like you get one life shot. We're sitting in the universe on this planet called Earth. And one day that experience of you and I talking right now will not be possible. So maximize that to the best that you can.
That's a good message. And this is such great timing because I recently made a post and I remember, and this is not my quote, it's one of the attendees from my events. At the end of my events, when I talk about handling rejections and building resilience, I give out these wood discs to attendees and they write their main takeaways, their message. And she wrote, "Others can only reject you when you reject yourself." So I find that really relates to what you said. And that was writing in my post that when you believe in yourself, when you work towards your goals, you know what you want and you go towards it. Others, people's disapproval of you, which is natural, not everyone will approve of you. And their rejections of you, however you want to call it, they don't hold as much weight because you know what it is that you want to go for. And eventually, with enough consistency and believing in yourself and self-compassion, that resilience builds. And with that resilience, success comes sooner or later. Whatever success means to you, because sometimes it can be defined differently depending on who you are and what your values are.
Totally.
So you can change your perspective around rejection and failure and not be scared of it if you give yourself more validation and that belief in yourself and you trust yourself to know to do what's right eventually. And we all make mistakes, or sometimes we all fail, but trusting ourselves that whatever choice we make, we will get out of it, or we will make the best of it, and we'll make the best of whatever comes at us. So thank you for sharing that.
Something you said that really stuck out for me was you said as you're building, you're building trust with yourself, and as you trust with yourself, you get success. The best success that you can grow is actually, it's not just monetarily wealth, but there's another spiritual success that you can grow. So imagine if every person on this planet was relatively joyful. Like, that's the one emotion. If you were walking around everywhere and everybody was super smiley and like happy, you're like, oh, wow, this is really good. But we don't see that a lot, right? We see a lot of poverty. We see homelessness. We see anger. We see aggression. We see sadness. We see this world and not in balance. And I think, though, I'll say to you, the world is not balanced, right? You have typhoons, sunlight, you got rain, you got snow.
Mm-hmm.
So the key is remaining at equilibrium almost. Not being affected. So that comes back to rejection. If you have rejection, so be it. Don't allow it to take you away from what you're trying to get to. Keeping in that equilibrium where you're cool, calm, and collected at all moments of your life to get to where you have to go.
How would you keep that equilibrium? Because you're right. Absolutely agree. Because when we do find that equilibrium, we're more in tune with our intuition. And when we're more in tune with our intuition, I find that what we need and what we want, they become one and the same.
Yeah.
And life just seems, it's not always easy, but it seems easier. And it's more joyful at the same time. But how do you find that equilibrium? Where do you start? Especially when there's typhoons, there's like winds, there's tornadoes, and there's so much that life can throw at us. Where can you find it? And how do you start?
Okay, that's a very good question. So I think you find it through yourself, time on your own. Make sure every day, even if it's 20 minutes, 3 minutes or something, but you spend it with yourself internally. And sometimes remaining quiet, that inner energy gets restored, because we're so quick to talk about the other person. We're so quick to judge. We're so quick to just constantly be speaking, and sometimes not for purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you regain that energy in what you are doing every day. For me, for many years, that was Tai Chi. There wouldn't be a 24-hour period where I would miss my own self-practice. Mm-hmm. Once you miss one day of practice, you're going back. It's like people's routines. An athlete needs to train all the time to get better and better and better. As a human being, we need to remember that we're not the only people on this planet. We don't have control over everything. And we're so insignificant to the greater, whatever you want to call it, that's happening.
Yeah. This is a great reminder, because as you're talking and about finding equilibrium, I was also thinking, what do I do to find equilibrium for myself? I know I love to journal and it helps me process things. It's not always easy, especially on days when there's too many emotions. It is possible to feel frustrated and angry and happy at the same time. It is possible. So journaling does help me break that down and find that inner voice in me to help me calm down, give me that equilibrium back. There's also, have you heard of the book called Artist's Way?
No.
By Julia Cameron? Yeah, so my friend introduced it to me, and it was, well, for me, it was transformative, it was life-changing. And it talks about this idea, first of all, of journaling, but it also talks about this idea of artist dates. And artist dates is not like you going out on a date with...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
An artist, that's not what it is. You give yourself time in a day, whenever you have time, if it's like once per week, depending on how busy you are, like once per week, it can be even once per month, where you go out and just do an activity that you would not normally do and do it by yourself. For example, it could go to this restaurant that you've never been to, but go by yourself. And that can feel really weird. But the more you do those, the more you find your inner voice, because you can finally hear yourself talking, not that social media stuff, that all this information being thrown at you, not even your loved ones who always have the best intentions at heart for you, but just to hear your voice. What are you saying?
I want to add, so over the last 10 years, that's something I've made a point. I remember doing my first meals on my own. So I would go out to restaurants.
Yeah.
I loved to eat food outside. When you are comfortable in being there with your own company, you're good.
Yeah.
You don't need anybody else there. You're happy and content in who you are. Because a lot of times we feel like we need people. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
It's very good to have people around you who support you and love you and family or companionship.
Yeah.
That's all important. But at the end of the day, it's you who you're going to have your best relationship with. You and maybe a higher power or something. But I completely relate. When you are able to, and you should be able to, spend time with yourself, so if that's in the medium of some kind of practice or going out to eat, that's good.
Yeah. If there's like a local park or local forest, just go by yourself. Like, even if it's 20 minutes or 10 minutes, it's it really helps, like, for lack of a better word, I know it's used a lot, like detox. Detox from all this information overload, all this stuff that you have to always do. Because there's always stuff to do, right? There's always, like, you can't finish everything and then go do rest. You have to make time for rest now.
And you make a good point. Spending time in nature is so healing. Even in Japan, you have doctors prescribing patients to go in the forest to, like, detox. There's a Japanese term called Shinrin Yoku, which translates to forest bathing. So living on Vancouver Island, that's the best thing. Like, people there, they immerse themselves in the forest
all the time. The ocean right there. And or like Calgary is nice also because your mountains is not too far away and you have huge parks like Nose Hill Park, like one of the second largest parks in North America. The more you can immerse yourself in nature, the better. And I have a segment in the book that talks about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great way to define rejection in a way, because it all starts internally. When we have that control over that negative self-talk and we find that equilibrium, eventually help us bring us in tune with our intuition and believe in ourselves more. I feel like we change our perspective naturally on it without having to change the external circumstances that surround us, because the external world is unpredictable. We can't control it.
And
no matter how good or how talented you may be, or good of a person you may be rejected in personal or professional life or both. And it's about finding that peace and calm in yourself. And someone said there's always, not sure if I can agree with the wording of this, but I like the message that it sends. Like there's always some kind of conflict that people can have in their lives, but true resilience and true equilibrium can be found where regardless of the conflicts that you face, you can still maintain that peace and calm. Not because everything is great and dandy and everything is going fine. Because, you know, yeah, that's a conflict. Yeah, I'll get through it. I don't know how yet, but I trust myself that I will get through it sooner or later somehow.
And I think that's really good. Remaining optimistic, remaining positive, like the brain functions 30% better when it's thinking positively. And you're making me think of an example that we used to do a lot of in martial arts. So the first key is like stand, right? Like you're basically learning how to stand up straight, how to keep yourself grounded. So if you imagine a tree is always standing, irregardless of wind, snow, rain, right? It might shift a little bit, but its aim is to remain as grounded as it can and not be affected. So if you can remain grounded and strong above water, sort of say, that helps us. And by keeping optimistic and keep positive, it's one of the biggest values actually that I really thank my parents for. I think that's been good. It's like they're very like laughable. Like the first 15 minutes of waking up in the morning is all jokes and fun to be able to tease each other kind of, but always remaining positive and at a very good frequency.
Yeah.
People are listening nowadays to classical music, Indian hymns, or like Chinese hymns or folk songs, because they're all radiating at 500 hertz. Okay, great.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that can you embody some of the other wisdom in those practices from across the world that say, you know, think about your mind. We're consuming media like no tomorrow. We're not following our own paths. We're mistrusting. That's why actually in the book I've tried to share a lot of wisdoms that I've learned from like ancient texts, because I feel like that's something we can't forget, where the world is very cyclical. So history repeats itself. People used to wear baggy pants back in 2000s. Baggy pants are coming back in now.
Yeah. I do want to segue a little bit. I know that throughout the book, you do use the word action a lot, and you emphasize how taking appropriate action can help us lead a more successful and fulfilling life, and not just successful in terms of monetary wealth. I just want to ask, and I know I take this back to a lot with rejection, but I thought it would be great to tie the theme of this podcast and with your book. Like when we are faced with rejection, and there's different types of rejection, there can be romantic, personal, professional, academic, whatever it is. And we kind of touched upon this, but what actions can you take to deal with those rejections and eventually become successful, whatever that may mean? And do you think the action may look different depending on the type of rejection you are dealing with? I know we talked a lot about how a lot of rejection is internal, but I do want to see how we can approach this question now that we've addressed the importance of not rejecting yourself internally. So yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, so I would say if it comes to, say, rejection from academia, right? You applied for med school, you got rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Your action is really, number one, am I applying again next year? What can I do to bolster that application? Can I go elsewhere? If your rejection is in business or monetary-wise, okay, well, how can you change that? And what can you do differently the second time around? So if you were not knowledgeable in your investments, how can you gain the knowledge? How can you surround yourself with the people who have the know-how to help you get to your end goal? If your rejection is personal, so in a relationship and yeah, you're in a breakup or you're feeling upset or you're sad, know that, okay, that time will pass as well. But what did you learn from it?
Mm.
What have you learned about who you are or who the other person was? And how can you move forward with that to enhance and better your next endeavor? Life is not over till you're gone. Okay, even at like a lot of Indian mythology believes in like reincarnation. I'll say maybe it's going to keep going afterwards, but do not give up and do not stay at that low level. A lot of people can be in despair for a long time. They can hold on to things for too long, whether that's material goods with family feuds on property, or that's just sulking in your own sadness or the past. We talked about the past, present, future. All I know is really today and right now. Tomorrow, I have no idea. I can plan. Oh, I can plan and plan and plan for the next 5 years. I can have my calendar schedule set. But anything can change. And actually, there's one quote in the acknowledgement section. Man proposes. So man proposes. I can propose what I want. But God disposes. Doesn't have to be God. Whatever you want it, but know that it's not always going to work in the same outline. And everybody is trying to plan out their life so rigidly, like, I want to be married by a certain age, I want to have kids by a certain age.
Mm-hmm.
But know that the best way, I think, is actually to, yes, plan and become better at yourself and what you're doing, but know how to adapt. If you can adapt, and if you can adapt to current truth, trends, or you can adapt to whatever comes at you, that's the best way. That will help you a lot. It's remaining flexible. In martial arts, we stretch and we keep the body nimble so you can adapt and move. That's the whole point. So if you take flexibility in your life, knowing that, okay, you know what? This year I got rejected from med school. That gives me a whole year. In one whole year, I can do so much more and come back. And if I want to apply again, now I have this whole other breadth of experience with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I always emphasize this too. Coming back to the idea of resilience, it adds to your resilience too when you are ready to adapt. So it's good to make plans. It's good to have goals and stay consistent and be productive. But sometimes just things do not happen. For example, I wrote the MCAT 3 times. And then before my third testing attempt, the day before, I dislocated my kneecap.
Oh my.
Who would have expected that, right? Right? Yeah. It did happen. Because that happened, I slept bad. I did not do good on that test attempt either. And I got 1 point below the threshold they were asking for at University of Alberta. Like, so many things just happened. And I was very tempted to like sulk in it, and I always say this in my talks as well, is like, you know, acknowledge all the emotions that come in. We're human. I mean, it's good to aim to be positive and happy. And I think that comes naturally when you give yourself grace. So when you are in tune yourself and find that equilibrium and joy. But sometimes there are moments in life when you are sad, and it's okay to let yourself be sad. And I was sad. But then eventually I came to that point where I thought, okay, what could I do to grow from this? I still decided to go through and apply for schools. Yes, I didn't get in. I did not get an interview. But I thought, what can I, and again, this was all gradual. It wasn't easy. I'm not trying to sugarcoat this experience. But eventually I did try and see what I could learn and how I could grow from this. That's how this podcast was born too. First, it was just for pre-meds. Now it kind of broadened to talk about rejection in general and invite people from all walks of life and backgrounds. But at first, it was just to help me and hopefully people in my position, similar to my position, to understand what we're supposed to do now. Like, we didn't get accepted. Like, should we keep applying? Or should we not keep applying? And all of that. But you're right. It's about taking action, and you can make plans and talk to people, but being adaptable. And I find that adds to your resilience. And we've touched upon this a little bit, but in your book, you talk about fear a lot. And there's this notion that if we don't get that fear aspect under control, then it will most likely will control us, and it can become a negative force in our lives that won't serve us very well. And fear is something we all as humans tend to experience at certain points. For example, there's fear of failure, there's fear of rejection, there's even fear of making the wrong choice and trying to be perfect and choosing your career or life partner. Now, this is a bit of a loaded question, but how do you deal with fear in your life? And where can other people start, especially if they already feel fearful or anxious, they're in that mode? In other words, how to avoid letting fear get in the way of our decision making?
Yeah. So I'm gonna say I'm not scared of anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to walk into a burning fire? Okay, that is scary because that is a logical fear, right? So there are logical and illogical fear. You want me to go and introduce myself to somebody to do business or introduce them or help them? I'm seeing somebody in distress. Don't be fearful of things that are intuitively who you are. If I'm driving and I see a head-on car crash, and this happened last week, I got out of the car to make sure, pulled over to stop and make sure that these people had help. So I think if you allow fear to hold you back, you're always going to think, what if, right? So the more you hold yourself back, the more you're doing yourself a disservice. And that comes back to you being true to yourself and living by that quote of you are yourself's best friend.
Mm-hmm.
As long as your choice is not impacting anybody negatively, I think it's okay to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, trusting your intuition.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Intuition is key. That's something that is, it's like a muscle you can work on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're scared sometimes. I used to have so many fears. I used to fear, when I was younger, I would fear speaking up a lot. Like, this is probably a good story. When I first moved to Canada, I had to do an aptitude test. I was coming from Africa and I was in grade 3 and I had just finished up grade 3 over there. But I was coming here, and because you're a new student, and I grew up in Nigeria and I went to a British school, so we spoke English all the time. Went to a Catholic school. We opened with the Father's Prayer every morning. So a very like English school. And when I moved to Toronto, we had to do an aptitude test, right? To just kind of see where you're at.
Yeah.
And I remember in the test, the lady was showing me flashcards and was like, okay, what are these images? And it came onto an image of a helicopter. And because I was fearful of stuttering, I didn't say the word. I knew what a helicopter was. I was a 9-year-old kid. I loved helicopters. But that one action actually probably, in her mind, was like, oh, this kid doesn't know what a helicopter is. He's got to redo grade 3. So I had to do grade 3 again.
Mm.
I think the fear was me against myself in a way. It's being vulnerable and open
that allows you to be successful and to learn and move forward stronger.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. Thank you for that story. I remember they made me do that test too. I was so stressed. Thank you for sharing that. It's a great example of how fear can get in the way and being mindful and having that self-awareness too. And I went to a conference for personal development recently, and they talked about how do you tell apart between fear and intuition? Because sometimes they're both strong inner voices and you don't know how to tell them apart sometimes. And tell me if you agree with this.
Yeah.
But they said fear, when it's fear, anxiety, you feel this pit in your stomach. Like you feel like what if this is not enough? Like it's all out of anxiety and self-preservation.
Okay.
Fear. It's a voice that's out of fear. When it's intuition, it's more of a curiosity. It's like, oh, what if I did this? There's no anxiety behind it. There's no worry that this may mean you're not enough, or you start worrying about what other people might think. There's genuine curiosity in there. So that's how I kind of try to tell those apart.
I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I agree. I think when it's a fear, it's more of a fight or flight response.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes back to like a logical fear. We're scared of falling from the sky because
which is valid, right?
Right. That, yeah. We're scared of fires and we're scared of loud noises often. Now, intuition, I really like that you say curiosity, because that's exactly it. If you're in line and you see somebody with a really cool shirt on and you're like, hey, I really like that shirt, I'm going to tell them a compliment. But you're fearful, but you're also curious where they got that shirt from.
Yeah, I'm glad that we were able to bring this up, because sometimes I could listen to your intuition, but lots of people, especially when they're just starting on that journey of getting to know themselves and know what it is that they want, it's hard to tell between fear and intuition, because so often fear can be ingrained in our lives from very early on and it can become a big part of us. So it's about separating in a way almost yourself from that fear and seeing okay, this doesn't serve me. This comes from a place of anxiety. Let's move into intuition, however that may look like. But from reading the book again, this one thing that I really liked and that stood out to me about you is your refusal to be defined by just one thing in your life, right? You don't want to just be defined as a businessman or just a singer, or just a stand-up comedian or an actor. Like you actively push away labels, which I find is so refreshing, because in our society, sometimes it's just like, oh, so what do you work? What do you do? And you're supposed to name one thing. Yeah. And it always stresses me out because I don't know what to tell them. I do many things and I don't know what to tell them. And then there's this fear. It's just like, oh, should I be doing this one thing? Because everyone else is doing this. But you actively push away labels and you focus on figuring out what it is that you're good at, your natural gifts, abilities, as you call them in your book. And you work at them. You work at them and improving yourself at it and becoming better and better and better. And you show people that it is possible to pursue business while also recording music on the side, for example. And I am very curious to know, do you think this versatile approach to life, has it helped you become more resilient in some way? Has it contributed to your resilience?
That's a great question. I would say it 100% has. I'm going to say there's no right or wrong path. You can do just one career choice and become skilled in that field. But my upbringing, my background, my experiences have shown me that you don't have to just remain in one industry. PepsiCo doesn't just own Pepsi as a brand. Coca-Cola doesn't just own Coca-Cola. Companies own companies. People are a variety of different archetypes. They're not just one-sided. You might be focused more in some areas, and that's good, but we are pretty versatile, and remaining dynamic has helped me a lot. I'm able to understand things quicker. I'm able to enjoy more of my work because I can learn more about various industries, and I'm able to challenge myself and enjoy it. And the industries I pick, I love. So I love music. So to record for freestyle rap and express in a way comes back again to like the expression form of being able to write or being able to speak or being able to sing and to be able to share.
So, and then doing business by background, that's what I've done. That's what I've studied. I enjoy commerce. I feel like it only does you a disservice if number one, it's taking you away from your end goal. And number two, if you're really not enjoying it, you have to like what you do. And I've realized that more and more as I've grown into my various careers. If you live and work a job and a life just because you're counting down the clock, well, you might not make it past the clock. You need to enjoy. A lot of the segments in there, I take a lot of words from my grandma. And she's 86. Every time she still asks me, she's like, are you happy in what you're doing? And I think that's when you're ultimately joyful, then nothing else matters. You have an emotion of joy. And I was hesitant to say love there, because when you have joy, you have love.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say either path is fine. You want to go and specialize in one field, one industry, that is good. No problem. Mm-hmm. You might, though, see that a lot of people who do specialize in one field, one industry, they end up going into other fields afterward.
Yeah.
So I think as much as you can explore and find what you have interest in.
Mm-hmm. That involves doing exploration sometimes. And for a long time, I was limiting myself to just medicine. And I know listeners are probably tired of hearing this because I kind of say different ways the same thing every episode almost. But I was limited to this medicine bubble, and in a way the rejection forced me to a bit look outside of that and see what else is out there. How else can I help people? How else can I make an impact? And again, it brings me peace because I know for now I don't want to pursue medicine. I don't see myself in that. Maybe in the future I will want to. Maybe. Like, I don't want to rule that out forever. I don't know what will happen in the future. Maybe I'll feel a sudden urge to pursue it again. Allowing yourself to explore, give yourself that grace. And that brings me so much joy and so much peace. And I'm able to not only live myself in that joy and peace, but I find that when you give yourself permission to be yourself and you talk about that with other people potentially maybe and also follow that, and kind of it spreads when you try to live that life that you stay true to yourself. You help other people in a way, even if it's indirectly.
And one thing I like made me think of is like, okay, we idolize a lot of people who are, you can say artists, okay? So artists we idolize. Why do we idolize artists? Because they are themselves. They are who they are and they're sharing it with the world. When you are comfortable in who you are and you're sharing that, people see it as true or your truth. And I think that's key, because everybody behind them has something that they enjoy or wanted to do. And a lot of times they don't get to live out those dreams because of, say, family responsibility, children, just any circumstance that has come your way, willingly or non-willingly.
Yeah. But that said, for example, even from last episode, a guest was sharing how there was this individual, he really wanted to be an actor, kept pursuing that. Eventually he realized that he could not just pursue that as a job. So he helped his brother run a business with cement or something. So now he's doing that. That brings him steady income. He feels secure, but best part is that he's able to do community theater. So in a way, it's not always all or nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do have to find ways to put food on the table. Like, that can be your primary means of income, but that doesn't mean there won't be like any time you can't find time to pursue your hobbies, or maybe even take those hobbies and make it into a business. And like you said, sometimes you're just fine with having that one job and finding satisfaction in your family or in whatever else that you do. So find what it is that brings you joy and just stick to it. And there's no specific script or formula for that. I think that's what frustrates people. But personally, that brings me a lot of joy and freedom, because it's not all written in stone. This is not one way to be happy or one way to have joy. It's all about kind of just seeing what works for you in your circumstances, in your situation.
100%, 100%. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's about being content and not giving up. So I'm happy to hear that individual who wanted to do acting, you know, he's found a method, a medium to satisfy that, to feed his inner soul.
And the best thing about that person is that he actually loves his business of cement building. He loves both of those things, but he wouldn't even know that he loves that business if he didn't even try it. But yeah, building on that last question, what advice would you give to listeners about developing resilience then, based on your multifaceted career and your travels? And again, we've kind of covered this. And we said it's not set in stone, but is there anything else you want to address here?
I would just say every experience that you have is going to help you get to where you're going. I had a friend who shared this with me. They would say, we're all on the same journey and we're just walking our own paths. So I would say, don't forget that. Don't forget that, you know, there's other people beside you and in the world who are probably thinking the same things. So lean on others when you need to, and you don't do it on your own.
Yeah, leaning on your support systems. Yes. Would you be comfortable sharing any personal, I call it rejection story, but any time in your life where you either experienced rejection or a time where you felt rejected, whether professionally, personally, or academically? And if you are comfortable with that, please share. Like, how did you overcome this experience? Maybe you're still overcoming it. Maybe you're never fully overcome it. This guest I had on one of my episodes and said, he said, do we ever overcome anything? We just kind of move forward and learn from it. But I wonder what your perspective on it is. And what did you learn from that experience?
Totally. I would say I probably had a feeling of rejection, all those facets when it comes to career. I mean, like, there's been jobs that I've applied to, like over 100 jobs, and then you get one interview, or you're working in a team and you're applying to get promoted, and because of various reasons, it might not happen. Academically, I'll share with you, I applied to become an SLP, not next year, but in 2027.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it got rejected. Does that mean I'm not going to apply again? Maybe not right now. And right now, I'm not prepared to move into that career full time. I could still see that with this book and this words which have been created, I can share these messages to help people. I could see myself creating businesses focused on, say, a call center for only people who stutter. So you have literally people who might not be able to feel so much confidence in speech being the one behind the phones talking to people. That's how you get out of that shell.
That's beautiful. Thank you. We are soon coming to an end of this episode, and thank you for your really refreshing perspective. And I want to say big thanks for your time today. What would you say are the important takeaways for anyone tuning into to today's episode? I know we've talked about a lot of things, but what are your main takeaways, would you say?
I would say, number one, don't hold yourself back from rejection. Number two, step into fear. And number three, make the most of every minute, because that's where you can act.
Right. Thank you. And what is the best way for listeners to connect with you?
No, of course. So it's just karanwadhwani.ca. And that's where you'll find information on the book. You can also reach me on Instagram at kwadwan, which will be in the notes. And or please feel free to email me at info@whoiskaran.com. And I'm happy to have a chat. Also, if you're somebody who's stuttered, or you want to, or have a chat with somebody else who's experienced that, let me know. I'm always open to it. Always open to like sharing resources as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Karan. Thank you for appearing on the show today. Thank you for sharing your stories and for talking about your book. I highly recommend the book, So You Want to Be, to anyone who's seeking to gain clarity, seeking to gain empowerment, wants to learn more about courage, achieve inner peace, and of course, make the best of those rejections that may that may come in the future. The link to order the book can also be found in the show notes. And to all the listeners out there, I do encourage you to reflect on the advice shared by Karan today, and remember that rejection is what we make of it. Will you learn from it, or will you let it sabotage you? So that's a question you can answer for yourself. Rejection is absolutely everywhere, and it can often be celebrated for the personal and professional growth it can help us bring. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can donate at Buy Me a Coffee. You can also follow the podcast on Instagram at @the_rejected_premed_podcast for additional content. Finally, this has been Valeria Rusnak. I'm the host and producer of the Rejected Premed podcast. I thank you so much for tuning in, and I will see you next time.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.